Come on. If you're Asian and you need someone to speak on behalf of you, I'm a pretty good choice, aren't I? I'm proud of our culture. I like our food. I bitch about white people who fuck up our food. That is like 90% of what an Asian representative spokesperson should do. Welcome to the Hiya Podcast, a comedy podcast about disappointment. This is episode one, baby! The first episode. Thank you for tuning in. How are you guys doing? How are you guys? Getting through? Getting by? Holidays almost, holiday season's upon us. Have you gotten all your Christmas presents? Have you received any Christmas presents? I'm friends with a lot of international people here in London, so everybody's flying everywhere. And I'm trying my best to get presents for them before they fly back to their home country or wherever they're going. And it's crazy. And then there's this new variant that's scaring everyone. Yeah, like I don't like to talk about COVID. It's a bit boring now, isn't it? Oh, there's no new variant. Every time you hear like COVID news stories, it's never fun news. It's never COVID's gone, bye. You know? It's a new variant. More deaths. Hospitals understaffed. COVID has had the reverse effect on my travel plans. You know, because before COVID days, you would think, yeah, I want to go on holiday sometime. Maybe I'll go to Greece, you know. But then you keep putting it off. Because you're like, yeah, Greece will always be there. Let me just work hard and hustle. And hustle. Traveling can wait. Let's hustle and earn money and work. But this year, because of COVID and everything, I'm like, oh shit, there's no restrictions? Okay, let's book something for next week. And then I just go. And if I don't travel now, who knows what's going to happen in a month? There might be another lockdown. I might have to be a COVID refugee. You know, when I say COVID refugee, I mean like last year I went to Sweden a lot because they never had a lockdown. And I just went to Sweden to eat at restaurants because all the restaurants were closed here. So I am a refugee, people. I live that life. Where is my GoFundMe? Where is my fundraiser, people? Sure, I'm not coming from a war-torn country. I'm coming from a COVID-torn state. Sure, some people are fleeing missiles and landmines. I'm fleeing concert halls that are closed. I'm fleeing having to cook myself. I'm fleeing eating cereal for dinner because I couldn't be bothered to buy ingredients from the grocery store. I'm fleeing that. And I am a refugee. But all I'm trying to say is I've been traveling a lot this year. I've been to, in the last couple of months, I've been to Berlin, I've been to Barcelona. I was just in Paris last week. That was really fun. I've been to Paris maybe 4 or 5 times now. And all of those times, the first time I ever went to Paris, I was a student. I was broke as shit. And Paris is not fun when you're broke because it's one of the most expensive cities in the world. I remember as a broke student traveling through Europe, some countries are way more fun than other countries. Prague, Budapest, those are really fun for broke people because things are cheap there. So I was like, I was living like a king. Beer is cheaper than water. I was drinking. I was eating well. And then I went to Paris, checked into the hostel, 16 bunk beds, just smelling of feet. There's no good way to enjoy the bunk bed experience. You're sleeping in there, the lights turn off, you know somebody's jacking off. They can be as sneaky as they want about it, but you see the little faint shadow in the corner of the hand moving up and down. You know someone's jacking off. There is no way to have fun in a youth hostel. It's 16 men in a room. In what world can that be fun? That is triggering my PTSD of hostels again. The smell of feet, man. Jesus. Because people who love hostels hate showers. This seems to be a thing. I've been to many a youth hostel. I've been to one in Thailand. I was, again, broke student trying to travel, save money. My God, the people. It's like, you know there are showers here. Guys, can you, like, take a shower before you sleep on the top bunk and I'm just on the bottom bunk and your body odor just emanating through the mattress above me. God. Oh, I remember taking a shower at that hostel was the most, I don't know, depressing, humiliating shit. It's like the kind of showers where that cheap budget gyms have, where you go in there. The shower is a button. You press it and then you get water for 20 seconds. And then you press it, you rinse yourself and do everything. And then as in the middle of like shampooing, the water stops. And now you're just like blind because the shampoo's going in your eye. You can't find the button anywhere. Can we be done with those types of showers or taps? We're adults here. Let us use proper taps, okay? Like we can turn it on. The water comes out. We're done. We turn it back off. Treat us like human beings, please. We have opposable thumbs. We can turn a faucet on and off. Yeah, so I think each shower was like 20 button presses. 20 seconds, 400 seconds. Yeah, so around that. And that is never a fun experience, you know? So that was my first time in Paris. And then I've been there like maybe 3 or 4 times after that. But every time I've been there was to perform, to do stand-up, right? So I couldn't really enjoy it either. Until this time I went there, there was no stand-up gigs. You know, I stayed at a nice hotel there. Everything was lovely. I had a little bit, a tiny bit of disposable income this time. You know, I've been very fortunate. So I actually got to eat nice food, got to go to restaurants. The hotel front desk staff was very useful in helping me book stuff. They have good taste. They have good taste because I think the clientele who stays at a hotel have good taste. So they book restaurants for them, you know. And but also, like in Paris, the French cultures, they know how to eat. They like their good food. It's very Asian in that sense, you know. You go to Asia, every street corner you go to, there's a restaurant that's bustling, you know, and every restaurant you go to, the food is always at least decent in Asia, at least in Malaysia. I can't speak for every Asian country, but I should. By the way, that's something people always say, like, I'm Asian and people expect me to speak for all Asian people. I'm like, yeah, you should expect me to speak for all Asian people. I am very good at speaking on behalf of all Asian people. Come on. If you're Asian and you need someone to speak on behalf of you, I'm a pretty good choice, aren't I? I'm a pretty good choice. I'm proud of our culture. I like our food. I bitch about white people who fuck up our food. That is like 90% of what an Asian representative spokesperson should do. Right? Shit on the white people who fuck up our food. So let me speak on behalf of all Asians. Okay? And I'm happy to be that guy. Until, I don't know, Henry Golding or Simu Liu steps up. I'm happy to be that guy. So shoot your Asian questions at me, people. Nigel, Asia's are not a homogenous people. It's a very multivaried, multifaceted, very diverse continent. Yes, it is. I know. But if you had to elect a spokesperson, if you're an environmentalist, if you love the environment, you have Greta Thunberg, okay? If you love Asians, you have me. Let's go with me. Who else you go with? Like the K-pop people are super famous, BTS super famous, but most of them, they can't even speak English, just smile at you. I think there's like 2 members who can speak English fluently. Every time I love BTS, don't get me wrong, I'm not shitting on them. I love their music. I think they're very, very talented. But every time they go on a talk show in the West, a Western talk show, it's just like one guy talking and 6 guys smiling at the back. With a dyed blonde hair. Is that not what happens? Very nice smiles, very good looking people, very talented singers and dancers. But they just smile, you know, they just smile. On Jimmy Fallon or who's that, James Corden. They just smile and they say, they each have a sentence or two they can say that gets a big laugh. So they can be spokespeople, right? Let me be a spokesperson. I got a podcast. So send in your Asian questions and I'll speak on behalf of all the Asian people and I will be correct. Oh, God. I'm going to get canceled in the first episode. I have a feeling. This, you know, it's a comedy podcast about disappointment, but in reality, it's just me saying shit that will eventually get me canceled. That's what a podcast is all about, isn't it? A podcast is a vehicle for when you land a job, people should be able to find a podcast you've done and clip something out that incriminates you and cause you to lose that job. That's the mark of a successful podcast. So this podcast will have a lot of that. But okay, back to Paris. They love their food there. And I love that food culture. I wish London, I'm living in the UK right now. I wish London, the UK, Great Britain had more of that food culture. Even London, I think London has amazing food from all over the world. Even British food, there's some good British food here. But the problem is, I don't think there are that many restaurants. And then Saturday rolls around, you can't eat anywhere. All the restaurants are full. If you go down to central London, all the restaurants are full. The restaurants that are not full are the shit, really shit restaurants, the tourist trap restaurants. And it's hard to have a foot culture. I'm not into foot fetishes yet. I might change, you know? They say fame changes you, right? So I might become a person who's into feet one day. So if you have OnlyFans that's, selling pictures of feet, let me know. Hit me up. But it's hard to have a food culture if on the weekends when everybody's free, you don't have work, and you want to go eat somewhere nice, everywhere's full. So what do? You settle for somewhere less nice, somewhere shit, and then you eat, and then you're like, oh, this is shit. And then you think, oh, food in London, shit. Let's just drink. Let's just go to the pub. Because beer is never shit. Wine is never shit, you know? There's shit wine and shit beer, but, you know, usually it's okay. And then, you ever try booking a restaurant in London for the weekend? Holy shit, the amount of hoops you have to jump through. And this is with I'm not trying to brag here, but I run a YouTube channel where I bitch about food, so I'm kind of in the food world a little bit, and chefs who run restaurants, they know me. And even with that privilege, I find it hard to book restaurants in London on the weekend. So imagine a regular Joe, like, where can they go? I have like maybe three restaurants off the top of my head that I try to just, I have a good relationship with the owner or with the chef. So I just text them and chances are I get a seat. But on weekends, it's always a 50-50. So I don't know. I don't know. I think there's not going to be a food culture here. That's why Britain will always have worse food than France. Because maybe there's just not enough restaurants. I don't know what the solution is. Trying to book a restaurant in London on the weekend, man. Holy shit. You have to know like 20, you have to follow 20 food bloggers on Instagram. You have to know what good places to go, what the new places are. And you have to call the restaurant between this and this hour. And then bookings open 2 months from now. Wow. Great. And this is not some like high-end Michelin star restaurant. That's just some regular place. That's a decent regular place, but still a regular place, man. I live here. I can't complain too much. There are a lot of great things about London, but sometimes restaurants and availability of restaurants is not one of them. What else did I do in Paris? I went to a burlesque show. Ooh, I didn't even know I didn't even know I could go watch a burlesque show in Paris. Just not something I do, but it was great. If you don't know what a burlesque show is, it's just people dancing naked, but it's less porn, more art. You know, that's this dichotomy, isn't there? When you take off your clothes, people, the first thing is like, where on the porn versus art spectrum is it? You know what I mean? You see a naked woman, you go to a museum, art gallery, you go to an art gallery, and there's like naked women. It's always leans art, right? But then you can't go to some single guy's basement, you see a naked woman. That is porn. That is an interesting phenomenon because like nudity, it depends on the context. Sometimes it's classy, sometimes it's very seedy and gross. Well, I don't differentiate. Nudity, always good to me. I like that shit. So sign me up. Porn or art, whatever. I do not want the same. When I go to Pornhub, I feel like an art dealer, okay? Like a curator. I go to Pornhub and I find some good art. You know? Oh, this piece of art has 4 dicks and 1 woman in it. That is a very nice piece. Oh, this piece of art is, you know, a lot of feet and chains and whips. Okay. I see what you're doing, Pornhub. I went to see the burlesque show and they were all, you know, great dancers. Also, I feel really bad for saying this, but you go there, everybody in the show was white. And to be honest, it felt, they're white. They're all the same type of woman. White French women, same height, like 5'10". And all their proportions were the same because when they all stood in a row, all their like tits were like, you know, on the same line. They're all aligned. How do you get like, how do you hire for tit alignment? You know what? They're all like same height. But even if you're the same height, I'm thinking like body proportions are different, right? Some tits, you know, all the tits were like firm and perky and stuff. But getting tit alignment, you know, so how do you even hire for that? Same body size. It was size what? Size 2, size 4? I don't even know. I don't really know women's sizes. And I feel bad for saying this, but there is something refreshing about them just going, fuck you, not everybody's beautiful. These 7 women are beautiful. Beauty does not come in all shapes and sizes. Beauty is 7... white women, 5'10", B cups, that's beauty. You are all ugly. If you're not on stage, you're ugly. That's what they're saying to you. It's a giant fuck you to the modern beauty standards, you know? The nicer beauty standards where everybody's beautiful. Beauty's on the inside. They're like, no, beauty is on the outside. It's on the outside. And the outside looks like this woman, these women. 7 women, 5'10", B cups. I was surprised, like, you know, Paris is a pretty diverse city, you know. I thought they were going to have, like, some other races in there, but they're like, nope. We've been doing this since the 1820s. It's white women then, it's white women now. I don't know how they are not, nobody's had an outroar over that yet. I thoroughly enjoyed myself, but I'm glad that they... I think it would be nice to see some Asian women, some black women in there. But I had a great time. I thought it was really cool. I think a burlesque show with diversity is great. A burlesque show with an all-white cast, that's great as well. Let's just enjoy it for what it is, you know? But something I have to say is I've been to Thailand, right? And I have seen the ping pong shows. You know, shows where naked women shoot ping pong balls out their vaginas. Holy shit, this episode is getting very dirty real fast. Sorry, children. Sorry, children. That is, I hope you, if you don't know, sorry, children, that's one of my catchphrases from Uncle Roger videos. Go check out my Uncle Roger channel if you don't watch them. I need to create a soundboard, sound effect for sorry, children, because I think it's going to be really useful when I say a dirty joke. I have this one right now.
Oh my god, you're killing me, woman. Hiya.
Yeah, which we'll play that later when we listen to the listener call-ins, which we'll get to later. Give me a second. As I was saying, I've been to Thailand before and I've seen the ping pong shows, you know, where they shoot ping pong balls at their vaginas. And let's not, don't tense up on me, people. I think it's a very noble pursuit. I think it's a craft. Let's just go in with an open mind, okay? It's a craft. It's gymnastics, okay? Just because Simone Biles can do like 3 backflips in the air, like shooting ping pong balls, can Simone Biles do that? No. But those require dexterity of your musculature and everything. So I consider that gymnastics. Let's go in with an open mind, people. And I have to say, after you've seen a ping pong show in Thailand, any burlesque show kind of lets you down a little bit. because in the burlesque in Paris, it was super fun. The women are super attractive and the dancers were cool. The lighting was so cool and stuff. But after you've seen a ping pong show in real life, these white burlesque shows just kind of, they feel kind of like amateurish, you know, because nothing they do is that impressive. Their attractiveness is impressive, yes, sure. But they don't do anything impressive. They dance, they twirl, they, you know, act all sexy and shit and strip. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, it would be nice to see a white woman shoot ping pong balls out of her vagina for once. I've never seen that. Why hasn't any white woman capitalized on this? I've seen only Asian women doing it, or black women should do it too. Like, some other race should start shooting ping pong balls at the vagina. But okay, let's be honest here. Like, if white women started doing this, holy shit, boy, it's gonna be considered an art. It's gonna be considered a craft. There's gonna be a New Yorker piece about the, you know, they probably call it a fancy name. What do you call it? A vaginal floor ping pong shooter or something? A pelvic ping pong player. Because we all know, when white women start doing Asian shit, that Asian shit gets cool. Right? Yoga, avocados. When white women start doing minority shit, that minority shit gets cool. K-pop is cool now because white women love it. So I don't begrudge them. I don't begrudge them. I live in the system. This is Western society. And white women have the highest purchasing power of all the women out there. So, big generalization, I know. But hey, comedy podcast, let me generalize sometimes, okay? That's all I'm saying. White women need to start shooting ping pong balls at the vagina. And we can create this whole new industry. We can legitimize the ping pong show industry, because right now it's considered a little bit niche, isn't it? It's not considered like an art form. It's not considered a sport. It's considered a weird thing gross men watch when they go to Thailand. And I would argue that the people who go watch ping pong shows in Thailand are not the gross people. If by gross you mean like, you know, the kind of guy who just goes to Thailand for sex tourism. You know what turns you off from trying to sleep with a woman? You know what turns you off? Nothing turns you off more than seeing a woman you're trying to sleep with shoot ping pong balls out of her vagina. I have never... That doesn't arouse you, surprisingly. If you have watched it before, I saw a ping pong show before. I was not aroused. I was impressed. I was fascinated. I was shocked. I was flabbergasted. I wasn't aroused. Because once you see what she could do with her pussy, you're like, I'm not putting my dick anywhere near that. So that's what I'm saying. It's not the gross people who go watch ping pong shows. The gross people are out, I don't know, in some alley somewhere trying to, you know, paying a girl to do whatever. It's the inquisitive people, the curious people who watch these ping pong shows. And it is a craft. I've seen vaginas do things I've never thought they could before. So I've had... The ping pong shows turned me into a feminist. I had a newfound respect for vaginas now. And I'm like, oh shit. I didn't know it could do that. Do it again. Shoot that dart again. Give me a bullseye again. I can't even play darts with my fingers sometimes. But these women could just, you know, shoot it at a balloon and pop it. Or smoke a cigar. And you know she's smoking it because she lit the cigar. And you know the cigar ring, it lights up when you're sucking it in. So that's what happened. It just lights up and goes dark and lights up and goes dark because she was doing that with her vagina, with her snatch. True feminists will watch a ping pong show. So I recommend doing that. And if you're a white woman who does burlesque, please take up that as a hobby and try to learn how to, you know, shoot ping pong balls out your fanny, because it would be nice to see this craft being legitimized. And God knows we need white women to do that, okay? I would like to see a burlesque show in Paris next time I go back where there is some element of a ping pong show in there. That would be really cool. That's all I'm saying. And don't worry about cultural appropriation. Again, I speak on behalf of all Asian people on this podcast. And white women, please shoot ping pong balls to your vagina. It's not cultural appropriation. You have my blessing. I will send you the ping pong balls. Okay? I played ping pong. I used to be, you know, pretty good at it. So I know what are the good ones. The balls are the ones that don't crack under pressure. Okay? I will send them to you. You can practice and put on a show. Hey guys, real quick, if you're enjoying the podcast so far, please do me a small favor and leave a 5-star rating and review on any podcast app you're listening on. And if your podcast app doesn't have a rating and review feature, just go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and write a nice little review, you know, saying how much you like the episode or how much you like the Uncle Roger videos. One, it helps get the podcast discovered by other people. And two, there's a guy there who left a 1-star review when only the trailer was up, and I was like, what the hell, man? That's such a dick move. So I need your help balancing out that negative energy, that negative 1-star review, by leaving a nice little 5-star review and a nice rating as well. So thank you. Please go do that. You'll make me feel really special. You make me feel special. Back to the show. I read another news story about, speaking of cultural appropriation, read about another news story. I don't think this counts as cultural appropriation, but Ariana Grande apparently has been accused of Asian fishing in a photo shoot. I saw this news story on Instagram today. Let's see. This is from ladbible.com. You know that's a legitimate journalism source, right? Lad Bible. The Florida-born singer posed in an Asian-style outfit for a series of photos shot by photographer Katia Temkin, who posted them on Instagram last week. Ariana, wore a white bow tie in her hair and around her neck, combined with wing black eyeliner, white makeup, an oversized gray blazer, and black-heeled platforms. Okay, I see a photo here. We'll put it in the YouTube version of the pod. And if you're on the audio only, let me describe to you. Yeah, she does look a little bit Asian there with like the black makeup, you know, like members of Blackpink have with the corner of her eyes, and this very cutesy and the face a bit bleached. You know, so yeah, she does look a bit Asian. But I guess some people are angry at her. But okay, first of all, I am a big fan of Ariana. I know I don't look it. I know I'm a very manly, masculine male, but... No, I love Ariana. I love her shit. 34 plus 35. Yeah, that is like the cleanest dirty song ever. Love it. I don't think it's a big deal, man. You have to understand, Ariana's raceless, isn't she? Is she? She's a white. She started white, and then became Hispanic. Is she actually Jewish? What is she? What race is Ariana Grande? Italian. Okay, she's Italian. I did not know that. I have a joke in Uncle Roger video when I described Jamie Oliver's chashu, you know, braised pork belly, and he didn't marinate it, so it's like very pale. So my joke was good chashu should be the color of Ariana Grande now, not the color of Ariana Grande 10 years ago. So... 10 years ago, Ariana was white, and now she's like brown. It's like the reverse Michael Jackson or some shit. And now she's Asian. So Ariana Grande is raceless. If you are a queen like that, you can be any race you want. If you wrote positions, you can be any race you want. Again, I speak on behalf of all Asian people. Ariana, you can be any race you want. Just keep doing you, girl. Keep writing, you know, shit like good songs on the caliber of Thank You Next. If you keep writing Thank You Next or songs at that level, you can be black next year for all I care. You know, I'm a colorblind person. I support her. Oh, this is funny. Transracial white British influencer Ollie London, who had surgery to look more like a member of his favorite K-pop group BTS, even stepped in for the star. He tweeted, "No one should judge her or use their white privilege against her. She looks amazing. Proud of you, Ari." God. I don't know if you know Ollie London, but this guy had so much cosmetic surgery to try to look like BTS, right? And he's just a little bit of a joke in the... He's just a little bit of a joke in general. And if you need Ollie London to come defend you, you kind of fucked up there. Sorry, Ariana. I think I'm flip-flopping here. If Ollie London's defending you, then you messed up, Ari. Like, if Bill Cosby came out to defend you, you know, you're like, okay, Bill, thank you, but you're not really helping here. So, all right. So, I think let's move on to some listener voicemails. Oh, yeah, that's a segment we're going to do on the pod. People, you can leave voicemails about recent things, how you've disappointed people recently, or how people have disappointed you. And I know with the holidays coming up, there's a lot of that going on. Shitty presents, missed flights, weird family arguments, or little quirks. Just, I would say, if you call in, keep it interesting and keep it light. Okay, I guess some people calling in some really dark, horrific shit about them being suicidal or something. I'm like, let's keep it light, man. I'm trying to run a comedy podcast here. Please. Okay? I'm not good enough to make suicide funny yet. Hopefully one day. But for now, let's just leave like some interesting voice notes, voicemails. The voicemail is a UK number, so when you dial in, remember to hit the country code as well. The full number, I don't remember the full number, it's in the description. We're also trying to figure out how to use WhatsApp. So I know WhatsApp isn't popular in the US, but WhatsApp is popular all over the world, and the voice note feature of WhatsApp is super convenient, and the quality is better compared to this phone line I'm using. So we are looking into that, people. But in the meantime, if you have anything you want to talk to me about, or just any nice fan message, you can either email it to me, or you can leave me a voicemail with the number down in the description below. I try to listen to everything I get, but obviously, if I get too many, I can't read everything, and I won't be able to get back to all of you, but I try my best, and I really appreciate it when people listen and write in or call in. But if you do decide to call in, please don't leave me a message like this, okay?
Uncle Roger, me and my husband would so love to have a threesome with you. Hit us up if you want it. Bye.
No. Who... This is what you shouldn't leave, okay? Who asks for a threesome over a voicemail? A threesome should be asked nicely over a phone call, okay? Or maybe over dinner or text as a worst case. Don't leave a voicemail asking for a threesome. Jesus, who is this?
Uncle Roger, me and my husband would so love to have a threesome with you. Hit us up if you want it. Bye.
Uncle Roger, and where is she from? She sounds very Midwestern. No, thanks. I don't know who you are, and I feel like I'm gonna get murdered. You know, just showing up to some random fan's door. Can you imagine if I actually said yes? Like, did you think I was gonna say yes? Do you think I was gonna take your number from the voicemail app and call you back and inquire about a threesome opportunity with you and your husband? I call her back and say, "Hey, is this the lady who left a voicemail?" Oh yeah, the voicemail for that one, like, small, that one YouTuber who makes egg fried rice videos. Not that one. Yeah, Uncle Roger, yes. Did you leave a voicemail asking Uncle Roger if he wanted a threesome with you? Oh, so that's you? Okay. And I was wondering if that position's still open? What's your address? Do you think that was going to happen, lady? I don't even know your name. So no, please don't ask for a threesome. That's not what the number is for, okay? It's for crazier things like this.
Hello, Uncle Roger. So my name is Bradley Smith. So my disappointing moment. Back in 2007, I worked for a tiny little company called Disney Cruise Line. I had an American visa. Now, what I wasn't aware of at the time, this was a shipping visa, which just meant I was only allowed on the water. After I left Disney, I decided to become an au pair, a nanny, in Phoenix. Oh. So I flew out to America, come up to the woman. She's like, hi, what are you here for, Mr. Smith? And I was like, I'm here to work. She's like, no, you're not. I was like, no, I am. And she's like, Mr. Smith, you're not coming in the country with that. And she obviously explained to me that this is a shipping visa and not a normal visa.
Yeah, the visa situation in the U.S. is super tough, man. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful, man. And I didn't know guys could be au pairs. Maybe that's my sexist brain talking. But like, when you imagine an au pair, you it's someone I imagine I have an affair with. That's what an au pair is. But chill out, people. I can't have an affair. I don't even have a partner yet. So relax.
At that point, I then got put back on the next flight home. Fast forward now to 2018. So my nan, God rest her soul, she passed away. She was 99 years old, and she left all of her grandchildren some money. So we got £5,000. So with my £5,000, I decided, you know what, I'm going to take my family to Florida. So that was me, the other half, and my two children. I filled out all the answers online, and one of the questions was, have you ever been deported? I clicked, no, I've not been deported. Don't get me wrong, in 2007, I was a bit of a...
Uh-oh. You'd never want to lie on a visa application, whether it's on purpose or by, like, carelessness. So you were deported, boy. You know, this is not going to end well. This is not going to end well. He was deported when he was trying to be an au pair, but he wasn't let in. That counts as a deportation.
Silly bastard. And, you know, I didn't have to cover a visa, but I wasn't deported. So we were all excited about going to Florida. We're going for 2 weeks. It's going to be amazing staying in the Disney hotel. I've got a Mickey Mouse tracksuit on, absolutely buzzing. Flight was perfect. Got there, got to the border police, and there was an issue with my fingerprint. So at this point, I'm thinking, oh, yeah. So I then go into a room. I have to leave my other half and my two children. They basically asked me in the interview, have I ever had any other names, or have I used a fake passport? I was like, no, I haven't. And then I clicked on what they were talking about. Then I explained, obviously, the reason about being deported before. So then they said to me, look, you're not coming into America today. You need to say goodbye to your family. So I pleaded with them, but obviously it was no good. So my family's come through, pulled my eyes out straight away, and said goodbye. And I said to them, look, I will come out as soon as I can, ASAP. And then as soon as they've left me, I've actually been handcuffed. They've actually turned around and said, what, you're going to Orange County Prison.
Oh, shit. Shit just got real, son. You're supposed to go to Disneyland. Now you're going to go to prison. Don't fuck with the U.S. visa system.
Right? And they were like, no, we've got no other flight. So at that point, I've been driven to Orange County Prison. And I've overheard the prison warden say to a friend, oh, my God, it's got such a cute accent. So I'm like, right, this is my angle here. I can work this. I've kind of gone up.
Oh, no. Don't flirt with the prison warden. Oh, my God. That is... I hate to say this, but it sounds like white privilege to me. Like, I would not have the courage to try to make the moves on a prison warden. But this is British privilege. I don't know what race you are. But I guess, okay, maybe it's not white privilege. I don't know what race this person is. But his accent, and then he heard the prison warden say, oh my God, his accent's so cute. So that's accent privilege, isn't it? That's British accent in America privilege. You have the courage to flirt with the prison warden. My God.
Sweet girl. Man, sit your ass down, boy. I did not tell you to get up.
Good. As she's supposed to do. She did her job. Don't flirt with your prisoner inmates.
Oh, shit. They ain't playing about here. So obviously I sat down and stuff. A woman came in. She's been detained because she set her other half alight. And there's me in prison because I had the wrong visa. Obviously, wow. I bowled into this prison in a bloody Mickey Mouse tracksuit. So I'm like, ah, fuck, I'm definitely getting bummed tonight. Like, there's no doubt about it. Luckily enough.
Yes. If you show up in prison in a Mickey Mouse tracksuit, you don't even need to drop the soap, baby. That dick is entering you.
I've got put in overalls. So anyway, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I've then been put into a cell with, I think there was like 16 other cellmates, and I'm fucking shitting a brick. So I've just put this sheet over me. I'll say a sheet.
16 other cellmates. Sounds like the time I was in that youth hostel in Paris. Hey, hey! Here we go.
It's probably like an old tea towel from like World War II. So I was told that I would be picked up the next day. So obviously I'm waiting about. Got put into another cell. And then it was shower time. So I've gone through. And then you've got the people that are actually in prison, in proper prison. They're dishing out the cells like for their good behaviour and stuff. They gave me a towel and that I've gone through, and the sheriff's like, get in that goddamn shower, boy. And I'm like, no, like, I've got paperwork that says, man, I don't care about no...
Okay, this is just him describing what prison is now. All right, the story started out really strong, but let's see how it ends. He's just describing prison. I think we can skip a little bit ahead.
The American woman's like, excuse me, do you know how this works? Do you know how to work this TV? Because I cannot get it to work. So I was like, yeah, do this, do that. And she's like, oh, did you have a nice time? Like, where are you off to? I was like, oh, I'm going home. Oh, did you have a nice time? No, I got deported. I was in prison. Oh, that's great. We're going to England. We cannot wait. We want to have tea with the Queen. So I'm like, uh-huh, okay. I'm like, look, leave me alone, kind of thing. And then I got back to the UK. So, yeah, got to England, went to the American Embassy, tried getting an appointment, and they were like, nothing. It's not an emergency. I was like, what do you mean it's not an emergency? I've got my family out there. How is that not an emergency? They're all alone? They were like, they're at Disney, they'll be fine. It's not an emergency. Couldn't do anything at that point. So I paid for her sister to go to America to be with the other half. So at least there was somebody else there. That was a huge disappointment. And now, like, when they talk about Disney and stuff, I'm like, yeah, remember that time when I was in prison? Cheers, buddy. Much love.
Wow. That is a big disappointment. See, okay, listeners, if you want to submit stories like disappointing stories, it gotta be something like that. That interesting, that crazy, and not just the, COVID means I can't go to my sister's cousin's husband's graduation, and it's really sad, and my mom won't let me go out because I got COVID, and I can't smell or taste anything. So if you're gonna submit shit, you gotta high bar, listeners. But okay, don't let me dissuade you from submitting your disappointment stories. Okay, I know it can be a little bit harsh, but oh man, what a crazy story! You were supposed to go to Disneyland to join your family and have a good time. You were there in your Mickey Mouse tracksuit, and you ended up in prison. Don't fuck with America, boy. Always get your visas, get your paperwork done right. I feel like now if you want to be an illegal immigrant, it might be easier now, you know? You just have to go to a country and then test positive for COVID there. They can't send you back. Right? Just get like a fake test kit that always makes you test positive or something. Or get like a little vial with the COVID virus. And then when you land, let's say you want to go to America, right? But you don't have a visa. You land in America, instantly just drink that vial or something, and then before they probably have to test you now before they send you back on the flight there, right? COVID test, PCR, and because you just drank that vial of COVID virus, you test positive. So now you get to stay in the US. Life hack. That's a nice positive thing that COVID has brought to you. It's much easier to be an illegal immigrant nowadays. Just test positive for COVID when you land in a foreign country. You're good. They lock you up in a hotel somewhere to quarantine for 14 days, and then you can just kind of old boy your way out of the hotel, you know? Is that a good enough reference? Like old boy, like you have to like kind of Shawshank your way out of the hotel? Oh, God, I prefer the old boy because it's more relevant for the story. The guy was kind of just like brick by brick, just kind of knocking his way through the hotel wall to escape to the outside world. So old boy your way out of the hotel, and then you become an illegal immigrant. Very easy. Stay in the country. Nobody knows. And that's it for today's episode. You've learned something new, haven't you? How to be an illegal immigrant in the times of COVID. See you next week.